The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Boeing engineer turned whistleblower claimed that the company is cutting corners, specifically citing serious flaws in Boeing's quality control practices.
I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. Basically, by jumping up and down, that's not how you build an airplane.
Boeing responded to the whistleblower's claims specifically about the 787, saying, quote, these claims about the structural integrity of the 787 are inaccurate and do not represent the comprehensive work Boeing has done. Boeing has not responded about the 777, and now the Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the whistleblower's claims.
Oh, the 770. Oh, well, that one we do jump up and down on the parts to make them fit. But the 737, we don't do that.
Yeah, we thought you were talking about the other one. Oh, yeah, this one. Are you kidding? Yeah, everybody comes to work with a saw because nothing fits. So we saw stuff and kick it and hammer it.
I don't actually know if Boeing's got any problems or not. Do you?
I was very slow to jump on that bandwagon because it felt like a, you know, one of those news-driven narratives where you have a company that produces many, many thousands of planes that then spend decades in the air, a couple of minor problems. Granted, the door plug flying out was not a minor problem. That was a big problem.
Did you watch the video of the cover coming off the engine the other day? If I was sitting there looking out the window and saw that, that would freak the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not good. So I was slow to jump on the bandwagon, but then I saw quite a number of really responsible people talking about the culture of, what do you call it, when you have somebody else do the work. Decentralization and Boeing had just become really an assembler as opposed to a manufacturer of airplanes, and that they had serious cultural problems. So, yeah, I think they have a problem, which is, you know, better we find out now than after something horrific happens. It was a miracle that nobody was sitting next to that door plug, that just happened to be an open seat.
Or that baby didn't get sucked out the door. That would have been, I mean, it was a bad story as it was. What kind of story would that have been if that baby had gotten sucked out the door?
Nightmarish.
Oh,
nightmarish.
My God.
Yeah, so anyway, let's hope they can get their house in order. It's a great American company, and there are other companies around the world that would be more than delighted to take the business away from Boeing. On another topic, perhaps you've heard that the utterly ridiculous lawfare-driven political trial of Donald J. Trump will be taking place in Manhattan beginning on April 15th. That's when the jury selection begins. This is the infamous and idiotic Stormy Daniels so-called hush money trial, which is a local prosecutor's novel legal maneuver that a local guy is prosecuting somebody for a federal elections financing violation.
And the financing violation happened in 2015. So that is 9 years ago, and the trial has to happen right in the middle of a presidential election.
It's crazy how it timed out. Pretty good analysis in the New York Times about the jury selection for the trial. And as we were discussing another time, the whole question of jury selection, how it's gotten so scientific and such smart people know how to massage the jury to get their preferred outcome, it troubles me. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to describe exactly why, but just the whole super smart lawyers trying to stack the deck. I don't feel like that's the way a jury is supposed to function. At the same time, I get, hey, it's adversarial. So the prosecution is balancing the defense's efforts and vice versa. So you probably end up with something reasonably fair.
Yeah, I think the bar is too high or low, depending on how you're looking at it. I mean, because obviously you don't want to just randomly pick people and put them on a jury. And, you know, one of the guys is Trump's brother-in-law or something like that.
Oh, sure. Right.
But they get into way too many specifics to try to massage it, as you said.
Yeah, I think the filter ought to be a lot looser. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's your brother-in-law or a guy you had a fist fight with a week ago. Yeah, those people should not be on the jury.
She owes you money.
Right, exactly. Anyway, so obviously they're going to ask the jurors about political affiliations, if they've ever volunteered for or against Mr. Trump. Obviously, whether their feelings about politics would interfere with their ability to be fair.
And the problem with that, obviously, is you can't look inside somebody's soul, but I could have volunteered for Trump. I went to Trump rallies. I went to the inauguration, all that sort of stuff. I'd rather have Trump win than Biden. I feel like I could be a jury on that jury and be completely 100% fair. You tell me what the law is, what happened, and I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting point in that you and I know would take the responsibility of being on a jury very seriously. It's sacred in our system of government that we only allow the government to govern us. And that if they want to take away somebody's freedom or their money or their life, yeah, we the people will decide whether you get to do that or not. I take that incredibly seriously. A lot of people do not. They have no respect for the system whatsoever. It's just an inconvenience or whatever. Although, in contrast with most cases, one of the things both sides are really cautious about is far from this being the sort of thing people are trying to get out of, there are droves of people who would love to be on this jury because it's such a high-profile case. And I would argue it's got all the trappings of I was on a super high-profile case, but virtually no... you're not deciding on a human being's life. You're not changing history, I don't think. Because if Trump gets like convicted to the fullest extent of the law and hit with the maximum fine or whatever, it's not significant.
No.
So anyway, the one jury.
There'll be a lot of. So this is a federal crime?
Yeah, that's one of the crazy parts of this. Yeah.
So if he is found guilty. The narrative will be he's been found guilty. He's a felon. He's a felon. He's found guilty of violating federal crimes. How can you elect that man president over this?
Yeah, I know. Jury experts say that this could easily take 2 or 3 weeks, the jury selection alone.
Oh, wow.
And said this one famous defense attorney. Said it's the most important part and the hardest part to choosing the jury. Let's see, what are some of the specifics? Mr. Trump's lawyers want a jury that includes younger black men and white working class men, particularly public employees like police officers, firefighters, and sanitation workers. Those who've had bad experiences with the legal system will also be prized by the defense, which has cast the case as politically motivated.
That sounds like the jury typical Democrats would want.
Yeah, it does in a lot of ways. Prosecutors, conversely, will probably be looking for more educated voters from Democratic neighborhoods, fishing for those who consume news from sources like MSNBC, known for its outspoken liberal hosts.
I've heard that.
And folks who are fond of late-night comedians like Stephen Colbert. That's interesting. Although, yeah, I suppose since you get a limited number of gonging people on each side, they will look for people who are obviously biased. I mean, I've got to believe that there are folks of a lefty persuasion who watch MSNBC, but have a similar feeling about the jury system than we do. I would hope so. But if you were to ask me, what are the chances they get a seriously unbiased jury, 12 people and alternates who are just going to weigh the facts? I would put that percentage at a very small number.
Right. I think the most interesting thing is, what does it mean taking him off the campaign trail for this many weeks or months, depending on how long the trial lasts, to not be able to, and even if it's not being taken off the campaign trail specifically, just the energy it would take to be there every day and sit there all day long. He's gonna truth out some really wacky truths when he's tired and angry and discouraged, you know, 5 weeks into this trial.
Violating the gag order in all likelihood. And we all know Trump doesn't compartmentalize very well. If he's thinking about something, he'll let you know. One more jury expert to quote this defense attorney said there'll be thousands of people angling to be on the jury, and those are the people who are most likely to have a partisan agenda. Getting 12 jurors you think you actually know is difficult enough in a regular case. In a case like this, both parties can pretty much rest assured they're going to have people on the jury that are not being completely honest about how they feel. He was blunt. The other guy was blunter about potential jurors. Quote, they lie. People want to be on that jury because they think they're going to write a book and they're going to be on 2020 or 48 hours or one of those things.
Right.
This is going to be a zoo, I think.
I never thought about that. But yeah, if you can figure out what you think they want you to hear to get on the jury, yep, you got a book deal or a lot of guest slots on pick your cable news channel. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and the people who would try to get on this jury under false pretenses are the very sort of people who would think being famous for a week and a half would make their lives better.
Right.
I wish them well.
So you'll have 45-year-old Stormy Daniels there in the courtroom. You'll have 77, 78-year-old Donald Trump sitting there in the courtroom every single day, the whole trial.
I don't know, Stormy doesn't have to be there much. But
she doesn't?
No, because it's about paperwork.
Well, I know she doesn't have to be there, but you don't think she'll be there?
I doubt it. I don't think the last go-round of quote-unquote fame did her much good. She had Michael Avenatti sucking on her like a vampire.
I figured she'd want to be there every day all dolled up and walk out every single day to waiting microphones and get her, you know, little soundbite on the cable news show
every
night.
So she can do another sad, pathetic tour of America's lesser strip clubs and quote-unquote dance for half a dozen drunks?
Yes. Boy. Middle-aged tour of the C-grade strip clubs of America.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That is going to be something to follow, no doubt about it. We got more on the inflation news that is out. It's not good if you care about the price of bacon and inflation ticking up again for the third month in a row. But a bunch of other stuff, too. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty. America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you came on, we had you on as a guest.
Yeah, you were my first ever talk show, and I thank you so much for this. I have
like, I'm not going to have, you were, you know what I remember, though, most? You're on the show, great, I come out in the hallway, and your parents, you remember this? Your parents are in the hall, which is right here. His parents are in the hall, and they were like, how did Jimmy do?
Oh, my gosh.
And so I just said, that kid's going all the way!
Yeah!
And your parents were like, Conan says he's going all the way.
Yes.
And then I realized I say that to everybody.
Conan O'Brien returned to The Tonight Show for the first time since he dramatically left in 2010 with the whole fight with NBC and Jay Leno and all that sort of stuff. The interesting thing to me was, and I've watched some of Conan's, I watch it on YouTube, the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and he has a lot of guests on. It's a really good show. Dang good show. I actually like it, I think, better than his old TV show that he had. So it's part of a podcast thing that Sirius XM bought recently for $150 million. So Conan O'Brien, who is already insanely wealthy after decades of success as a late night host, just sold his new show to Sirius XM for $150 million.
Wow.
That is something, isn't it?
Woof.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll get by. So I came across this, thought it was interesting. If you've been listening, you know that the inflation numbers are out and they ticked up again unexpectedly for the third month in a row. And analysts were saying, well, yeah, it was up in January and February, but, you know, Christmas and the nuttiness of travel and whatnot. I mean, yeah, what do you expect?
Yeah, things are crazy. Those happen every year, but whatever, go on.
But now with 3 months in a row, it's kind of hard to write off of anything other than for some reason inflation is headed back the wrong direction. And Jason Furman tweeted out, he is an econ professor at Harvard. The market appears, and the market took a bit of a dive on this news. The market appears to finally be getting the message that the Fed's next move might not be to raise rates, might be to raise rates, not cut them. It's more likely the Fed raises rates at this point, not cuts rates at this point. Now, that's one economist. Ask 10 economists, you get 10 different answers. But wouldn't that be something? They're currently the highest they've been in 23 years, and they go up because inflation is still too much. And getting to an earlier topic, the president might want to stop going around touting Bidenomics.
Yes. Hard to imagine who wants to hear that right now. Let me preface my next comment by saying I think we'll all be fine. It'll all be okay. But I don't recall this much uncertainty surrounding everything since maybe I was a kid. I mean, geopolitically, please, do I even need to describe what's going on? Economically, politically, culturally, there is some, and it's my belief, Joe Getty here, folks, good to meet you. It is my belief that if the perverse cultural indoctrination of our kids is not halted and reversed, none of the rest of this is going to matter. If we bring up a cabal of America-hating people, young adults who believe the truly perverse, racist, neo-Marxist stuff of critical race theory, radical queer theory, the rest of it, I think we're doomed. Having said that, all the other more dollars and cents-y black and white stuff is really uncertain too right now.
The uncertain world that includes Russia and Ukraine, we were talking about this yesterday, a number of Republicans, like leading Republicans at like chair committees and that sort of thing, think a segment of the Republican Party has been infected with Russian disinformation about what's going on and are believing it. So we got this, we talked about that a little while. We got this text yesterday. My father-in-law is a Republican like me and a Trump enthusiast, but we have battled it out as he watches pro-Russia news constantly, and he believes Putin is a good man. I don't understand it. So I don't have that experience, but, well, I kind of do. We got a couple of texters that I know personally that that are in that camp. And I don't know what news you're watching where you get that impression, but apparently it's out there.
Well, propaganda works. That's why rulers use it. The narrative that Putin and the Russian Orthodox Church are standing up against the very perversity I was describing, it's a popular notion. It's a very good black and whitey way to view what's happening. It's also wildly incorrect.
Putin's one of the most evil men on the planet, one of the most evil men who's ever lived. Yeah, so that's worth keeping in mind. We got some wacky politicians to play for you coming up.
Armstrong and Getty.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, who did an interview with one of your Spanish language television outlets because they're trying desperately to win back some of the Hispanic vote that Donald Trump now leads in, ask Joe the golfer this question, since I don't know, but I saw the headline. Tiger Woods needs to give it up was an opinion piece in the New York Post. Apparently, Tiger Woods was asked, the Masters golf tournament is this week, and he says he believes he could still win. Any chance of that? Because if he can win, I'll watch.
He's not played a competitive round in many months. No, I think that he's delusional.
Okay.
I guess he's had to withdraw from like 2/3 of the tournaments he's entered in the last year and a half or so.
Because he just can't even finish physically?
Yeah, especially a hilly course like Augusta National. I mean, his reconstructed leg just won't let him.
Huh.
Hey, you're worth like $1 billion. Get a driver, dude. Anyway, to politics.
Oh, that's from the car wreck. I was thinking golf injuries. I'd completely forgotten about. He got all ambient up and rolled his car, and that's why his leg's so bad.
Yeah, he was in terrible shape. I mean, it's a testament. I've never been a Tiger fan for a variety of reasons, but he's an incredibly disciplined and hardworking man. There's just no doubt. You've got to respect that. The fact that he's able to play at the highest level at all is something close to a miracle and a testament to his character, at least that part of his character.
Well, right. You can be incredibly disciplined in one area, but you take Ambien and drive your car around way too much. That's not particularly disciplined.
Right. Or, you know, or letting your driver out of the bag too often with Perkins waitresses and getting the hell beat out of you by your wife.
That's none of your business.
I think you'd be better off if you're not in the gym for an hour and a half every day, but you do avoid multiple affairs with floozies or do stay home when you take Ambien rather than getting in your car.
So, God, agreed. Tiger!
He's frustrated. As you can hear.
So this is I'm loving this the most. To me, this is the headline out of the Hispanic language or the Mexican language. What do you call these television stations? What's the proper term?
I don't know. Spanish language? All right. Spanish speaking? I don't know.
We'll go with that.
So the show, I guess, is called Had It or Hit It, or the segment is called Had It or Hit It, or whatever.
This is a podcast, I believe, as opposed to the Univision interview Biden did.
Clip 41, Kamala Harris here, Michael.
Had it or hit it, Donald Trump totally had it. And right now, Donald Trump is telling us that he wants to be a dictator.
There is no dog whistle. It is like a gigantic bark.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say this genuinely could be the last Democratic election we ever have.
You're right. Democracy, extraordinarily fragile.
Yeah.
It's only as strong as our willingness to fight for it.
So the interviewer going with the flippant remark that Donald Trump made to Sean Hannity one night. What do you say? Sean Hannity says, what do you say to people who say you're going to be a dictator? No, I'm not going to be a dictator. Except on day one. On day one, I'm going to be a dictator because I'm going to close the border. Everybody laughs. That was not him announcing he's going to be a dictator. But
right. And Trump actually making fun of the look on Hannity's face. Did you see him? I said I was going to be a dictator. This guy, come on.
But anyway, to pretend that that's real and everything is just, that's, to me, that's all you need to know about our current state of politics. Just whatever, whatever. How are you supposed to even follow the presidential election if that sort of conversation passes for real?
What was striking to me was that the podcast gal who was admittedly trafficking in utter, you know, demagoguery and garbage sounded to be about 40-50% more intelligent than the vice president of the United States. But putting that aside, here is the head guy himself in clip 37, Michael Biden, repeating the refrain.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously, Donald Trump uses phrases like you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
So there you go. There's the president of the United States stating that the guy I'm running against says he's going to be a dictator. I don't even know what to tell voters or my kids. Like, how do you follow politics?
What is the next level? He has a death ray that he's going to use to wipe out all of Nebraska. How do you go upward from, and there was quite a bit of slurring there, but I think I followed it mostly. The idea that, oh yeah, he's going to end democracy and become a dictator day one. He told us that. It wasn't a dog whistle. It was like a giant bark, which was pathetic in itself. And then this gem from the old fella, 36, Michael.
From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't. You could own a rifle, a gun, but there were certain things you couldn't do. But they weren't weapons of war.
So we're back to the whole, I taught the Second Amendment.
In law school?
Yeah.
He did not.
No. No, completely debunked. He brought up another one the other day that he was, oh, I think we have that, don't we? Here's 38.
I, like an awful lot of people in this audience, was the first in my family to go to college and watched my dad struggle to help me get there and get all the kids there, and it wasn't easy. Being raised by a grandpop who went to Santa Clara back in the days when Irish in Northeast Pennsylvania didn't very much get a chance to go to college. And he was an All-American football player at Santa Clara. And he came back as a newspaper guy on the business side.
So back 30 years ago, when I think his first or second humiliatingly unsuccessful run for the presidency was derailed by the whole plagiarism thing, part of that slew of accusations and scandals, I guess, issues that got him booted out of the race was that he had claimed he was the first of his family to go to college. And a number of people pointed out, no, that's not true. Like your mom's side of the family, a bunch of people went to college. And 30 years ago, he was forced to say, yeah, I guess that's not right. I'm not the first to go to college. But now he's revived it again in the style of, Joey, baby, you've been rode 50 million miles on Amtrak, baby. That whole hogwash.
Well, there is a montage going around over the weekend I didn't grab because we've heard so many of these, but it was the I grew up in the blank community montage, and there's like 30 different versions. I grew up in the African-American community. I grew up in the Puerto Rican community. I grew up in I was raised by females. I was raised by Hispanics. I was raised by Muslims. I was raised by the Greeks. I was just endless, depending on who he's speaking in front of.
Jews, Armenians, space aliens. I mean, he name checks virtually every sort of living creature that walks the earth. Yeah. And I'm a product of the South Mesopotamian community. Just ridiculous. Let's see. What time is it? We were thinking of following up the Kamala Harris tripe with some encore Sheila Jackson Lee, whose recent statements about the eclipse are getting a fair amount of attention. We probably ought to take a break. Then we can do that along with some more serious fare. But it's not to be missed.
Hey, one other video I wanted to mention that I tweeted out, and it would have to be bleeped because the guy drops a bunch of F-bombs. Did you see the thing I tweeted out about the guy who owned a Subway talking about how much money he actually makes? I thought it was just fantastic.
Oh, really? No, that sounds intriguing.
He bought a Subway franchise, and he was talking about the reality of that as a owner of a Subway franchise. And this, I don't think he was in California, so it didn't get even into the $20 an hour minimum wage. But he went through the entire thing of how much money he took in per day and in a typical week, and then what his electric bill is and what it costs for the bread and the meat and the cheese and the, you know, blah, 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 the rent, just everything like that. And I think he came out, he got to keep about $1,000 a week, which maybe you think $52,000 is a great living to get to keep. But he was working from open to close every day, 13-hour days to make that
money.
And that's how much he was keeping out of everything.
And the vast majority, well, at least a significant chunk of America would think that that guy has practically unlimited money. And the only reason he doesn't pay his employees more is because he's greedy and selfish, like all business people are.
Right.
It's funny, not funny, ha-ha, funny, incredibly troubling how in a very short span of time we've gone from a country that lionized success and admired it and sought to imitate it. To an assumption that anybody who is at all successful cheated and stole their way there and they're to be punished. Whether you're a business owner or you had the gall, the temerity, the nerve to rent a property out to someone who needed a place to live, you're assumed to be a bad person. It's just, it's not healthy. The politics of envy, I think, is the phrase.
We are going to get an astronomy lesson from one of our leading congresspeople coming up.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also in that Univision interview, Joe Biden strongly criticizing Israel again about hitting that convoy and killing those aid workers, holding them to a standard that he hasn't held himself or Barack Obama or any other military outfit in world history. So maybe we'll talk about that more later.
But first, from the science desk, the inimitable, the amazing, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Houston, Texas, on Moon Exploration, number 10, Michael.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
So where was she speaking? Have we nailed that down?
High school gathering of some sort, whether graduation or something like that. Yeah.
How is she not just outed as a complete lunatic, if you'll pardon the expression, since we're talking about the moon? That's where a lunatic comes from. She is a complete, this is the third time I've heard it, but this is the first time it struck me as she's a complete lunatic, like crazy person.
There were 20 or so phrases in her statement, and about a dozen of them were idiotic, and the remaining 12 were incomprehensible. I mean, that was a tour de force of stupid.
You've heard the phrase full moon? That means, yes, everyone has.
Well, the word full moon, sorry to parse, but you've heard the word full moon? I got one word for you, full moon. But she actually went on to talk about the fact that you have the energy of the moon at night, which lights up the earth, its own shine. Yes. Not apparently understanding that it reflects sunlight. She then explained that the what the eclipse is you will see today the closest distance that the moon has ever been in the last 20 years, which means that's why they will shut the light down, because they will be close to the earth, which is an amazing experience. You will be able to tell because there will be complete darkness. Again, that which was not idiotic was incomprehensible. Michael, what were you gesturing there?
Politicians have figured out that in a live speech, whether it's Joe Biden or Sheila Jackson Lee, that people will not question you, that you can just say whatever. And people don't have the guts to stop the speech.
I guess the kids who were there were aghast because they've taken basic science and they know, you know, how ridiculous it was. Now, here's the bitter punchline. Sheila Jackson Lee for a long time was on the House Science Committee, specifically the Space Subcommittee. Here are a couple of other gems from her career.
That NASA is going back to the moon with human beings. Anybody heard of that? Well, I know there's some humorously saying so, but we are working now in the Artemis project to take human beings, astronauts, to land on the moon. I don't think we've been on the moon in the last 50 years, so we will be landing on the moon.
You don't think we've been on the moon in the last 50 years? That seems like the sort of knowledge you should have, like, top of mind if you're on that committee.
Space subcommittee, yes. Next one, Michael.
What you will see today will be the closest distance that the moon has ever been in the last 20 years, which means that's why they will shut the light down, because they will be close to the earth, which is an amazing experience. And what we are supposed to experience, and I'm hoping we can, complete darkness, that everything will be shut out. Now, we don't have any animals around here to be able to, maybe we'll hear some dogs barking, how they are impacted. But you will be able to tell, because there'll be complete darkness.
Wow.
I hope there will be complete darkness. Again, that is knowable. That is entirely, in fact, it's known by anybody who reads the USA Today.
Yeah, if you had followed any news organization at all, they would tell you on the map on Monday where you were in the path of totality, or 30% or 50% or whatever. But she acts like she's just discovered this information, and because she is in Congress, she has a secret pipeline to some really interesting. We might, if we're lucky, we'll get complete darkness right here.
Right. Now we'll have no animals for reference, but we may hear dogs barking. We hope to. Then she tells him not to look up at the sun. How much time do we have? Do we have time for Sonny Hostin on The View, Michael?
Yeah.
Hit it.
15. I have to say, Karen Dupiche, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love the first time in like 100 years.
Two different kinds of cicadas.
Are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No. Every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, better.
I would say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or
so going is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. It happens.
The eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen. And they can say when these things are going to happen.
One of the hosts of The View blamed the eclipse and an earthquake on climate change.
Wow, and the voice of reason is Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar. That's rough.
You're doomed. All of them jabbering at once. How can anyone watch that?
No, climate change doesn't have anything to do with the earthquake.
Because that's underground. Oh, boy. Wow.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.